Hi, this is Pastor Billy Burke, and I want to welcome you to a four-part series on how to keep your healing miracle. This first CD will be entitled, Why God Wants You to Be a Keeper of the Healing Blessing. You know, all through the scripture, it's very, very clear there's a theme that goes all through from Genesis throughout Revelation, and that is that everything that God gives you, He wants you to keep it and sustain it and maintain that in your life. That healing that you've begun to receive in your body, whether you've received 100% manifestation or whether you've just received partial manifestation, maybe you've only received 20% or 50%. The pain is gone, but, you know, there's still some lingering symptoms. You're going through treatment, and so the healing process has begun. Whether all of it's been completed or just some of it, it's important that God wants you to keep the part that you've already captured. Do you hear me, my precious saint? What you have captured, God wants you to keep. Let me give you four major scriptures that really back this up. Galatians 5:1, Paul talks about, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has set you free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Paul was saying here to the church, you've gotten free, now let's stay free. You've gotten free, let's stay free. Let's not go back to where you were, you know, handcuffed, chained and bound, addicted, bound. Let's not go backward. Come on, you're free. Let's stay free. The second verse is John chapter 15, verse 16. Jesus said, I want you to bring forth fruit, and that fruit should remain. I want you to bring forth fruit, and that fruit should remain. I want you to harvest, and what you harvest, I want you to keep. I don't want you to lose your harvest. I want you to keep everything that you're receiving. Then in John 8:36, Jesus said, what? Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And that word indeed means you are free for good. You're not free to return to bondage. You're not free to go backward. You're not free to catch again what you had. You know, the cancer, the arthritis, the meningitis, the lupus, whatever. You are free indeed. That word indeed is so powerful. It simply means you're free. Now you're going to stay free. And then out of the story in Mark chapter 5, verse 34, the woman with the issue of blood. After she had touched his hem, and she had felt in her body what had been done, Jesus called her back. And he said these words, be made whole of the plague. She was already healed of the plague, but now he was saying, be made whole of the plague. Meaning what? Never again shall this plague bother you. You may have other tribulations and trials in your life, but this particular issue, this particular battle that's been raging in your body, you're not just healed of it, you're whole of it. It's gone for good. So we can see that out of these four powerful scriptures that the Holy Spirit is trying to convey to each one of us that have received a healing touch, whether partial or complete, that God has every intention on finishing this, completing this. He has every intention on this being incorporated into the fabric of your life. Let me give you three good reasons why God wants, you know, why God, it's important that you keep this. Number one, it's not what you get in life that counts, it's what you keep. It's not the amount of healing that you received at the altar, it's the healing that you still have. You know, it's not the amount of money that you got, it's the money that you have. It's not what you get, it's what you keep. You know, it's very, very important that it's not the progress that you're going through today, it's the progress that you're able to keep. Keeping is what builds confidence. Keeping is what builds momentum for more. One of the greatest discouragements that's happening today in so many people is that they get a healing touch on Sunday and they lose it by the following Sunday. They get a prophetic word about money and they're excited and they have it, but then they lose it. When you begin to receive and you begin to lose, there's nothing that works against your faith anymore than hope deferred. The Bible is very clear that hope deferred makes the heart sick. It's a way for the devil. It's a way for, you know, the unsanctified, unrenewed mind to begin to question and doubt whether what you received was really real or not. That's why it is important that you begin to be what? A keeper-minded person. I'm going to keep everything that I begin to receive. There's so many things in life where, you know, you get things and then you lose something, and something in your house, something in your car, you know, something that belongs to you. We get and we lose. We get and we lose. And sometimes we carry that natural thinking over into the kingdom. Well, I was healed, you know, for 3 weeks, but then I lost it. I was healed for a month, but then the devil stole it. That stuff does happen. But what we want to get across to you in the beginning of this great series on how to sustain, how to maintain, how to keep so you can get more. Because when you keep, you qualify for more. Say that with me in your with your mouth. When I keep what I have, I qualify for more. We don't want to be like the man that built his house on the sand and he keeps losing ground and he never gets to build because he's always rebuilding. You don't want to keep getting healed of the same thing. You want to be on your way getting healed of what you have and healed of anything else that comes your way so you can become a stream of healing yourself to many, many, many others. But that discouragement level comes about in one's life whenever you know that God touched you. You know the blood pressure is down, the sugar count is balanced, when you know that the cancer's on the run, on the way out. And then a month, 60 days, 90 days later, all of a sudden it's flaring up again in your face. And you thought, but I thought I was. I thought, what happened to me? How did I lose this? Well, that's why we're talking to you today about this, because there's a way that you don't have to lose any ground. There's a way that you can go forward. Remember what the Bible promised you. That he will take you from glory to glory. That's right. He won't take you from glory to misery. He won't take you from the take you forward then move you backward. That's why the armor of God on the child of God is only covers the front part, because we're moving forward and we're not going backward. So this discouragement level can be nullified by you getting a mindset inside of you that I am going to keep. I am going to maintain. I am going to take hold of, capture, and keep that which God has started in me, whether it's the whole manifestation or whether it's 30% of the manifestation, because there's a big difference between a healing touch and being healed. There's a big difference between a healing touch and being healed. Many receive a healing touch and never get healed. Many receive a healing touch and some even die. Some go to heaven early. Many receive a healing touch only to remain a month or year later in the same predicament. A healing touch is meant for you to understand that God is able, that God is bigger. And that is meant for you to get into your mind. God wants to begin something. He has every intention on finishing that something. But he needs you now to get involved in the process of keeping this wonderful work of grace, this wonderful work of the Holy Ghost, and begin to see it the whole way through to its completion. So what we want to convey on this first part of this wonderful, wonderful series, because I'm so convinced that so many today are so discouraged because something wonderful began, and now that rhythm has been broken. The symptoms are flaring up. The doctor is saying nothing has changed, and yet you know that you know that you know that that touch that you received was so real, that everything was going in the right direction, and something has changed that direction. Well, my friend, I'm telling you today that according to the Word of God, according to what's happened even in my own life, that what God has started in you, he wants to bring it to the full fruition, and he wants you to be a keeper of the healing blessing. Four good reasons why God wants you to keep the healing blessing. I want you to write these down, or I want you to begin to get these in your spirit. Number one is this, that because when you keep what God has started, when you keep the healing that God gave to you and you received in its full form, you now are walking in the increased quality of life. You know, in John 10:10, Jesus said, I come to give you life and life more abundantly. That abundant life just isn't about living long, you know, and getting healed and getting money. That abundant life is about living a quality life. Do you hear me? Jesus isn't about just living you to be 90 years old but sick your whole life. He isn't about causing you to be living, you know, I live to be 89 or I live to be 101. But in those years, there was frailty and there was sickness and, you know, there wasn't quality of life. That's not what God's plan is for you. When you keep the healing that you receive, whether it's a healing of pain, a terminal healing, a healing that he uses doctors, he even uses medication for a season. Listen to me. It proves to you that God is interested in the quality of your life. In other words, you begin to live pain-free. That says something. You begin to live symptom-free. That's powerful. You don't need those hearing aids anymore. You know, you don't need that walker any longer. You no longer have to be on that high blood pressure. That can only increase, not just the longevity factor, but it increases what? The quality of life. Your daily way that you feel in your body. We all know that when you wake up in the morning, the energy level that you have, how you feel physically determines a whole lot of what you set your mind to. Whenever your body is weak and tired, whenever your body is full of drugs, whenever your body is just being riddled with this kind of pain and that kind of pain, when you're dizzy, whenever you don't have the strength, you know that it limits what you're able to do, you know, for your family, you know, for yourself, for the kingdom, for your church. Everything becomes restricted. And while you're still alive biologically, you're still breathing, you're still here. You know, you've not been killed or taken out. But the quality of your life isn't where you want it to be. Do you want to feel stronger? Do you want to have more energy? Do you want to be able to get more things done throughout the course of a 24-hour time period? Then it's important that you begin to take serious. I'm going to keep every healing touch. I'm going to embrace every prophetic healing word. I'm going to really begin to take serious the written word of God that promises me the healing and the strength. Because when I keep what I'm receiving, it will only add to the quality of my everyday life. I can be a better mom, a better dad. I can be a better worker. I can be a better servant of the Most High God. I can be more available, and even though I'm available, I can be even of more use because there's more strength in me to give. Let's just face it. When we're feeling better physically, we portray ourselves better. We're in a better frame of mind, a better spirit. We're much more. Many people today, I'm telling you, many today, people are not reflecting who they really are because their sickness, their medication, their physical report, their doctor's report is causing them to be somebody who they're really not. Tired, moody, angry, judgmental. All of those things can be taken away when you begin to keep that portion of the children's bread, that healing touch. You begin to be so encouraged by the so it's important that you keep it because why? The quality of your life is instantly being changed and manifest to you. Number two, the reason that you need to keep the healing blessing is that it begins to display the full sacrifice of Calvary in your life. You know, a lot of people only see one side of Jesus, you know, that he forgives your sins and you go to heaven. Some people only see the part about Jesus that he forgives you and he gives you peace. But there's multiple dimensions of Jesus. Jesus was not just a savior, but he was a healer. He was a deliverer. He was a provider. I mean, Jesus had so many dimensions to his person. That's why whenever, you know, Jesus was talking to Peter and he said, "Who do men say that I am?" And Jesus, Peter said, "Well, some say you're Elijah, and some say you're John the Baptist." And Jesus said to Peter, "But who am I to you? Who am I to you?" It's really important that Jesus wants you to know him, not just as Savior, not just as the one that gets you to heaven and living on the new earth forever and ever, but he's also the healer of your body. He's also the deliverer of your bondage. He's also the provider of all of your emotional needs and the provider of all of your... He wants to be multidimensional in you. And that's what Calvary depicts. Calvary said in Isaiah 53, he was wounded for what? Transgressions. What's a transgression? Something you willfully do, premeditated sin. What's iniquity? Iniquity is he was bruised for. What? That's the sin that comes down through your family line, from your ancestors, clear back to Adam. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, meaning what? That God wants you to have peace in the middle of all of your trial and tribulation. By his stripes we are. In other words, Calvary is what? Calvary is a full health package for the whole man. And that's why whenever you keep the healing touch and the healing blessing that you're receiving, now you begin to partake of the whole sacrifice. Not just that he went to the cross and died and suffered for your sins, but he went to that cross and suffered and died and rose again that you could be healed, that you could live out your days, that you could have peace in the middle of all of your storms, that the curse of your forefathers could be broken in your life. And each time you partake of another dimension of what Jesus sacrificed, then the understanding of who Jesus is becomes more real to you. And you know him more. And as you know him more, then you desire to serve him more. That's how he becomes owner and Lord over everything you have and who you are, as you begin to understand that everything you need was answered at Calvary, that the crimson tide of Calvary, the cascading flow of the blood of Jesus that still flows from that holy mountain, you know, out of Emmanuel's veins, that when you get a healing touch, when you get healed and you keep that, now you're experiencing not just Savior, but healer. And then you experience deliverer. Then you experience provider. Then you experience he's your joy. And pretty soon you begin to realize, in him I live. In him I move. In him I have my being. He becomes your all in all. He becomes your one-stop shop. You know, he becomes, like it says in John 10:9, I am the door. I am your source. Many resources, but only one source. Remember that. There's only one resource. There's only one source. Many resources. God is your source. Resources, people. Resources, money. Resources, equipment. Resources, information. Those are all resources. But when Jesus becomes your source, your door, then he becomes the connector to every resource that you need. The reason why you want to keep your healing? Yeah, it's because it increases the quality of your life. But another reason, it helps you partake of who Jesus is in his fullness. You begin to able to love him more. You begin to be able to appreciate him more. And now he becomes your all and all. Your only one that can really reach into the depth of your soul and meet the deepest part of your need. You begin to know who this Jesus is. Important. Oh, so important. Number three, that the quality of your testimony, this is number three, that the quality of your testimony takes on a new dimension. You know, it says in Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Your testimony carries a lot more credibility whenever you can say, I was God healed and I'm still healed. You know, whenever God touched me and I've been touched and that's never happened again. People are looking for something that they can believe in, that's real, that works, and isn't always haunting them for the rest of their life. You know, that's what people are interested in. And so whenever you're able to say to people, yeah, I got healed in a meeting, or I got healed at home, or I was standing on the word, or God used doctors, and I went through a season of this and a season of that. But let me tell you, I'm holding the head of the giant in my hand. I may have other battles in my life, but this giant will never bother me again. This giant will never bother me again. It's really, really important that your testimony isn't just I was, but your testimony is I still am. Oh, the difference in that. As I said earlier, many people can say I was and I lost it. Many people can say, well, I had it and lost it and I'm trying to get it. But whenever you can, your testimony is, let me tell you about the faithfulness of Jesus. Let me tell you about the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you that what happened to me was so deep, so rich, so real, so permanent. Let me tell you how I felt. Let me tell you where I was. Let me tell you how bad it was. Now let me tell you how good it is. Whenever you can demonstrate that I was blind and now I see, I mean, you shut the mouth of the lions. I mean, there's a lot of people, even in the church, that are doubters, you know, that don't believe that. It's amazing. It's amazing in this hour when the Spirit's being poured out how your testimony is needed on the front lines. Because most people don't have trouble believing that the characters of the Bible got healed. They have trouble believing that the characters in their current lives are being healed. Most people believe the Bible stories, you know, about Lazarus and Bartimaeus and the epileptic boy and the Syrophoenician woman and the 10 lepers. And most people today don't argue over that. But most people today need to hear and see people like you, and everybody you're connected to, that the Jesus of yesterday has walked out of the pages of the Scripture, has walked out of time and eternity, and has put a healing on you just like he did in the Gospels of old, and how it worked then and it works now. They kept theirs and you're keeping theirs. Oh, the power of your testimony. Whenever you become a keeper of the healing blessing, it is absolutely amazing. And the next point, let me go to the next point. Number one, number two, number three. This is number four. It makes God's word so true to you. You know, it's important that God's word becomes true to you. I can't say enough how that whenever you're able to keep that healing blessing, it just doesn't make your quality of life. It just doesn't increase your testimony. You begin to experience the full sacrifice. But let's not make any misunderstanding here. In the beginning was his word. Everything that we receive comes out of his word. The world was framed with his words. He sent his word and he healed them. And it's important that you and I have a grasp that these Bible stories, that these scriptures that we read are God-breathed, that they have life in them, that they can change everything about your life. I mean, from this to that, from weak to strong, from nothing to something, from poor to rich, from sick to healed, you know, from, you know, a nobody to a somebody. His word has got to be seen as not just some, you know, Holy Ghost suggestion, but it is the truth. It is the truth, and it is settled in the heavens. I mean, that's what Psalm 119:89 says. It says that his word is settled in the heavens. What's that mean? It means when God has said something in his word, it's already settled in the heavens. He's waiting for it to be settled in you. He's waiting for it to be settled in you. Then it gets settled in what? In the earth through you. That Bible that you have there, well, I don't know what translation you're reading. It doesn't much matter long as it's, you know, the translation of King James or New American Standard or the Amplified or the Jerusalem Bible, the Scofield, whatever translation you're reading, I want to tell you something. That thing is God-breathed. Everything in there is true. That book has got to become your final authority. Meaning what they can say this, the professional people can say that, and God bless all their education and their skill. But at the end of the day, it's what God's word says that your faith is going to latch on to. And so the importance for you to keep what God has started, the importance for you to keep your healing, it makes God's word true to you. It's already true to a lot of other people, but to build your confidence that what? That if I can keep the healing that I'm getting because of God's word, then I can keep the salvation of my children. I can keep the money blessing that we've started to receive. I can keep the peace that I got, you know. I can keep the anointing that I have, because the peace, the anointing, the household salvation, they all are generated out of the roots of the written word, of that revelation that God has put down on pages of old and quickens them today and makes them alive to give you confidence, to build your faith, to give you something to hold on to rather than just a feeling, a thought, or a memory. It's something that you can hold on to that's in written form. And I'll tell you what, every time you keep a healing touch, every time you keep and maintain your healing blessing, every time you do, you're making God's word be true to you. And there's nothing, listen to me, there's nothing greater than for you to know there's a book I know. Matter of fact, there's not one book, it's a collection of 66 books by different authors, all saying the same thing, that God came, that God did, that he still does. And what he does, you can have, you can keep, and you can carry it on into other generations. It will continue to strengthen and encourage your faith. And it makes God's word what? A go-to book. It makes God's word a confident to you that what he has promised, he is able to perform. There are 7,700 promises in the Bible. 7,700. 1,500 are about healing your body all by itself. 1,500 scriptures promising you health and strength all the days of your life. Oh, it just makes God's word so rich, and it makes God's word so real. And finally, the reason that it's important that you keep your healing touch. Here again, once I say, whether you've only received portion of the manifestation or all of the manifestation, it's important because what? It is an indication that God is destroying the works of the devil through you. You know what he said in John 3:8, for this cause did Jesus Christ come, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Well, sickness is a work of the devil. Disease is a work of the devil. We know other things in life are drugs and gambling and prostitution and on and on. We know that long laundry list. We know that the devil's behind in some way all of that. But let me tell you, he's behind sickness and disease and pain. He's behind all that in some form, directly or indirectly. And when you begin to keep the healing blessing that you're receiving, you are actually destroying a work of the devil that he's trying to manifest in your body. You are shutting down darkness. You are shutting down the dark kingdom. You are disarming the devil all by yourself with the help of the Holy Ghost. Isn't that amazing? That's why it's important. I mean, you are setting him back on his heels. You're showing him that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Every time you get a healing touch, every time you get a full manifested healing of your back, of your eyes, of your head, whatever it is, I mean, I don't care if it's your little toe or your pinky finger. It's important that you begin to what? That you begin to make a scrapbook, a testimony book, that God healed me of this and God healed me of that. And you'll begin to see God shutting down darkness here and shutting down the devil there, that through you, and through you acquiring healing touches that you're keeping and maintaining and moving on with into fuller manifestation, that through you, destroying the devil's works is becoming a manifest and a regular item. And not just you. Guess what? Who's to say? Who is to say that because of your victory, that your children and grandchildren will no longer suffer that curse that's been in the family line for so long? Somebody has got to step up in your family line and put an axe to the root of this. The reason many people today are fighting many of the diseases is because the forefathers before them, maybe they didn't know how. Maybe they didn't have the knowledge you're receiving. Maybe they didn't have the faith level that you have. They may have been great people, holy people, wonderful people. But I'm telling you, it takes more than holy and wonderful. It takes faith. It takes a revelation. It takes knowledge. I'm telling you what, knowledge and wisdom are so powerful. That's why Solomon said, what? Get knowledge. With it, get wisdom. And with that, get all of thine understanding. You could be the very person that God is choosing to what? To put an axe to the root of the curse of something in sickness area in your family line. You may be the one called to purge your family line of heart disease. Your victory could purge the family line. That's right. Your victory could purge the family line of alcoholism. Who's to say? Your victory could purge the family line, you know, of bad eyes, bad ears, a bad back. My daddy had it. My grandfather had it. And if you check the family tree, many, many, many generations have things like that. And listen to me. That's why it's so paramount that when you receive a portion or all of the manifestation, that you are highly motivated, you know, to maintain and keep it. If you've only received 30% or 40%, then you want to maintain and keep it so what? You can get the other 70%. So you can walk in what? The fact that the full manifestation of Calvary has taken place in your body. And you now are the one that God is destroying the works of the devil, not just in you. And I'll tell you what, there is a sense of personal satisfaction whenever you know that the devil's been shut down in your life. Because everybody, up until the time they're born again, has had some inner reaction with the devil who has brought them so much shame, so much blame, so much pain. So to have a payback day and a payback time through the blood of Jesus is very fulfilling, very satisfying, and very rewarding. I'm telling you as I'm speaking now into this CD coming into your heart, into your mind, I want you to rise up on the inside. Let God rise up on the inside of you today. and begin to declare. Make a decree, as Job says in chapter 22, verse 28. You make a decree and I will establish it, that I am going to begin to take more serious that healing touch, that healing prophetic word, that manifestation that's begun to happen in my body. It doesn't matter how it's coming about. Like I said, God can use many different avenues to bring you into a healthy recovery, but you want to be thankful. You want to be declaring that I'm going to keep this. I'm not going to lose it. I'm not going to be deceived. I'm not going to be bluffed out by the devil. I'm not going to be lied to. God is doing a great work in me. I have a portion of what has been started, and I don't intend on regressing. I don't intend on going backward. I want to have a satisfied, I want the quality of my life to begin to increase from this day. I want to experience the full sacrifice that Jesus paid on Calvary. I want to have a better understanding that He just doesn't save me of my sins, but He's also concerned about my health, my mental health. He's also concerned about my emotional being. He's concerned about my finances. He's concerned about my possessions. He doesn't want me to come behind in any good thing. He doesn't want me to lose this and lose that. He wants me to gain and to add. He wants my house to be built on the rock, so when the storm comes, the devil will huff and puff, but he won't blow down my door. That at the end of the day, when the season of storm is over, that I'll be standing strong, waiting for God to add on, waiting for God to continue to manifest even more of that which He has started. It's important that you establish in your thought life, because of what the Word of God says, listen to me, that you stand fast in the liberty and not be entangled again with the yoke of sickness, of pain, that you bring forth the fruit, the harvest of healing, and that that harvest of healing should remain. This is something that you must begin to get into your mind and get that mind renewed into a new way of thinking. God touched me. He wants me to keep it. God healed me and He wants me to keep it. The healing has begun. I'm in the process, and the Holy Spirit wants me to keep this progress. He wants me to keep it. He doesn't want me to lose it. I'm not meant to lose it. It's not meant to be stolen. It's meant to be kept. It's not what I receive, but it's what I keep that I can build on. Oh, today I pray that as we enter into this wonderful series of how and why God wants you to be a keeper of the healing blessing, He wants you to be a keeper of that manifestation that has already started. I sense as I'm speaking here to you, many of you, even as you hear this CD, many of you will begin to experience a healing touch even in your body right now, or a continuation of the healing right now, or a finality of the healing right now. Sometimes those are the main three stages of any miracle. There's a beginning, a middle, and an end. It starts, it continues, and then it's finished. Wherever you're at in that recovery process, lay hold today of your claim. Let your faith rise up and say, no more losing. No more regressing. No more going backward. No more the devil stealing the seed that God has planted inside of me. I am after not just some. I'm not after just more, but I'm after all. You can have some healing. You can have more healing, or you can have all the healing. Don't be satisfied with some. Some is better than none. More is better than some. But let me tell you what's the best. Whenever it's all. Whenever it's all, whenever it's what? Completely manifested. That's whenever you begin to experience the depth, the riches, and the height, and the breadth, and the length of the love of God. That He is able to what? He is able to take care of you. He's able to make you more than a conqueror in this area that you have been struggling with. I pray for you right now. Put your hand on that place in your body that I may pray, that you may be a keeper of the healing blessing. Father, I pray now in Jesus' name that my friend would begin to experience the healing touch, the healing presence, that you would send your word right now through this media form and begin to take away pain and remove disease, that you would now begin to even cause symptoms to disappear. I thank you, Master. Holy Spirit, I thank you for your part in bringing the healing blessing to the people, that every ear would hear, that every eye would see. We thank you now for the blood, for Calvary, We thank you now, Lord, that you are manifesting your power and presence in everyone that hears the sound of my voice. We give you the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.